Welcome to Grills and Heels with your hosts, Tristy Lynn and Rebecca Scott. Each week, we talk about topics that span a variety of issues that we feel are important. This podcast is for adults only. You should be at least 18 years old to follow us on this journey. So kiddos, stop listening and go grab your parents. This podcast is for them.
Hi, this is Rebecca Scott.
And I'm Tristy Lynn.
Welcome to Grills and Heels. This is a place to talk about raw, edgy, and straight up real topics. So, this week we are going to discuss what's been happening. We've been quiet for a little bit.
No, I feel like we had like a full on Black Power movement our last episode.
That was in April, boo boo. It's June.
No, did you not use that one that we recorded via Zoom?
I did. Yes, I thought so.
That wasn't in April. That was last week, boo.
It wasn't last week. But I understand.
It was 2 weeks ago.
It was before my mountain retreat.
No, it was not.
Was it not?
It was when the protest started.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck? Help us.
Shut up.
Podcast world. She forgetting. She did Zoom meeting me and all of this shit.
I sure did.
And like, we had some real, like, we was ranting for a while though. So it's gonna be
a 2 week thing. I mean, a 2 episode thing. I gotta do 2 episodes.
You gotta go find the meeting?
It's on there.
Lord Jesus.
Hush. Don't judge me.
Rebecca Scott is our tech person. So, you know what?
Don't judge me. I be having things.
There's lots of judgment happening that shouldn't.
Okay, so this episode, we're going to discuss the protest. And, well, not really the protest. I guess, yes, the protest. But we're going to really focus on Black women and how Black women are affected by what's going on right now. Because I think altogether, even when it comes to what's happening, you know, the protest started, everybody keeps saying, you know, hashtag George Floyd, George Floyd, George Floyd. I get it. But right before George Floyd, you have Breonna Taylor. Like, people keep forgetting, they bring up all the men that have died due to police brutality, and they forget about the women.
And I'm going to tell you something. So I'm going to get in my history teacher bag at some point, maybe several times today, and that's totally fine. But that is literally gives a lot of credence to the civil rights movement back in the day. Mm-hmm. What it was all about was Black women, put down your mantle of your sex and focus on the race at hand. Like, you further the race, which is Black men, and you take a step backwards. And what happens is, then and even now, is Black women become this countenance to push up the movement, but it's almost like we get left behind. Mm. And what sucks about that is where Black women are like championing Black men and this and that and this and that, a lot of times Black women don't get the same things back. And people try to make it our fault while we don't get the same things back. If you look at white men and the way that they handle and deal with white women, everything they do, everything they've done is always to protect the gentility of white womanhood. And nothing that Black men do protects the gentility of Black women.
You know what? That's a good point, because 95 South brought up to me just this week a little meme that said something. Oh, you know what? Let me get that. But it was a little meme about Black women not feeling protected by Black men. He was like, what are your thoughts? I said, I 100% agree.
And what's crazy about that is, because I think we've talked about it before, Black women are seen as this super strong. We always got to put the whole race on our back.
Y'all so strong.
Fuck that. No, thank you. I want a man who makes me feel like I'm protected, makes me feel like that I'm appreciated for who I am, makes me feel like I'm safe in the space that I'm with him. Like, I am not a person that is a weak woman at all, but what's the point of being with a man if I can't feel protected and secure?
Right.
As a woman,
forget a
Black woman. As a woman, that's what women want. Women seek security. And it's not always financial. Most of the time it's not. Mm-hmm. But women seek security, and women seek that whole, I feel like I'm in a protected space. The problem with that is, that has always been the countenance of white women and not Black women, because we've always had to put the race on our back. You can roll out with that, bro. Like, listen, at some point I may say some things that might offend people.
So what?
That people don't agree with. And that's totally fine. But I can only speak the experience of my life. Mm-hmm. And the experience of my life is, I had to learn from a very young age, why women sometimes are very manipulative. Mm-hmm. Manipulative. They will cry on the drop of a hat. They feel, y'all ever notice whenever they show those Karen videos, those women that they call Karens, you ever notice they start, white women are the most aggressive people in our society. If you don't believe me, they're not scared of black people, because every time you see a video about Karen checking a black person, they are in the face of black men and black women like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Because they know the only thing they gotta do on a drop of the dime is turn and say, I feel like they were attacking me.
Oh,
well, you're the damn aggressor.
Right.
You're the damn aggressor. And then you know how they're allowed to be the aggressor and not to be called difficult. Mm-hmm. And loud and too much and over the top, because they can cry on a drop of the hat. Let me tell you something. I'm probably the loudest person that most people know. I got a big mouth. It's big and it's loud and it's this. Never in my life have I been called an aggressive black woman. You think that's because I'm light skinned? You think that's because I have a lot of mixture in my background. I'm 40-something% white. Why do you think that is? Because I won't allow anybody to make me that.
Okay, granted, get that. You do that. But great. Most black women, like you said that, I've been called angry black woman several times. And I could just be
by black men. No lie, I've been around.
By black men and white women. It's like, oh, yes. Why are you so angry? I'm not angry at you, Karen. I'm putting you in your place.
And so I think I learned very early how to use their weapons against them. Because the number one thing, like when I'm mad and I'm angry and I'm getting someone together, the more and more my tone gets more articulate. The more and more I get very prim and proper. Because you're going to feel all this, Karen. You're going to feel every one of these degrees, boo. You're going to hear all of this sarcasm. You're going to get every bit of it. Oh, and crying on a drop of a hat? Oh, I will be in the office talking about how aggressive somebody was towards me. I don't know why you're being so aggressive. Why are you so aggressive? Because they love to call other people aggressive.
You're right.
I'm not the one, baby, because I will turn it on. You hear me? I will turn it on and you will. I have the principal thinking you crazy. They'll be like, oh my God, I've never seen you like that. I've never seen you upset. I cussed this dude out at my job one time. Listen to this. Great story. It was a dude and he was an effeminate guy. I don't know if he was gay. Don't care. But he was an effeminate black dude, right? Mm-hmm. He was a little bit younger than me. And so every day he would try people in our group, right? He would always just say flippant stuff. He would do too much. He was funny, so we let him slide.
Oh.
But every now and again, he would get on my nerves and I'd be like, boy, okay, let me go to my cubicle and not deal with this because you're being ignorant. So one day he really, really tried it. I told him to get away from me. No, I walked away from him and was like, I don't want to deal with this. He comes in my cubicle and he think he gonna get me together. I proceeded to get as loud as I possibly could in that good AT&T office down in Midtown, and I got in that ass, okay? I went in on him. You know what happened when everybody's coming around the corner? They was like, well, what did he do? This is so out of your character. When we were in high school and a boy tried me and you in the hallway, oh, do you think that was calling us angry black women? They were like, oh my God, what did he do? Yeah. Why are y'all so angry?
That was right.
No, they didn't even say we were angry. Why are you guys using profanity? We've never heard you guys do that. Because you have to know how to use the system. And I definitely know how to use the system. A white girl, let me tell you, this was great. This was like the best. And I would call her Karen Jr. So Karen Jr. tried me like a free sample. She was always, again, I let a lot of things slide. People say little smart, slick stuff, whatever. So she wants to talk to me. Her cubicle was facing mine, whatever. I'm typing, doing my job. And she got real crazy with me. And she was on some type of medication. And literally, we had half cubicles at the time. It wasn't whole cubicles, half cubicles. Without stopping my work, I was typing, looking at my screen while she was behind me with that bull. And she goes, I just don't feel like you should talk to me like that, Tristy Lynn. I said, first of all, I think something's wrong with you. I think you might have a chemical imbalance. Such and such. I said, and I'm going to let that slide, all of that slick stuff you talking. I said, because I know it's that medicine you on. Because I know when you're right, mind, you wouldn't talk to me crazy. I said, but what? Let me tell you what's not about to happen. You don't get to be aggressive towards me and then start. She starts crying. I said, you can run out of here in tears. I could care less. Everybody around us can see that I've done nothing to you and you've done everything to me. I said, you don't get to be the aggressor and start crying and get somebody to run after you. Because this is not that. So you know what everybody did when she ran out? Fucking looked up. They came to my, are you okay? Are you good? What happened? Nobody fed into her, I'm the victim, because I wouldn't allow anybody to make me the aggressor. I didn't do anything to you. Mm-hmm. Just because I let stuff slide, people tend to think I'm a pushover. But what they don't know is once I get cranked on, it's very hard to get me crunk off. So I don't go there. I do my best. Now that I'm an educator, I really don't let people hit my buttons. I'll just walk out of a situation so I don't have to cuss your ass out.
Did you? Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about children. I'm talking about grown people. Mm-hmm. Nobody's a bigger victim than white women. I'm over it. I'm sick of it. It feels like it's getting worse. And like, they're just like, what? What? Bitch, you know. Like, you know. You know.
You know what you did.
You ever seen Karen on Karen drama? That is the greatest example.
Oh.
Girl, they try to out-victim each other. It's amazing. I literally sit back with like, trail mix and be like, get her, Karen. No, Karen Jr. You get her. No, I'm like, I love it because what do you do with your tactics when somebody is the same as you? But that's why they try to put black women into this space like, we're this, we're that, we're this, we're that. We are fucking magic.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch, I'm delightful. Say it with me, podcast world. Bitch, I'm delightful. Okay, so the next time Karen tries you, say, I'm not doing it today, because bitch, I'm delightful. Kevin, don't you come with that bullshit today, because bitch, I'm delightful. Okay, my braids are shining. Mm-hmm. My puff is on fleek. Mm-hmm. My perfectly curly hair is on perfectly curled shit. The
curls are popping, sweetheart.
Curls are popping every day. I'm glowing. Is that foundation? No, bitch, that's glow. Call it melanin glow. Bitch, I'm delightful. You're not gonna make me this harsh, aggressive person. You're not gonna make me like I'm so this and I'm so that and I'm so out of control.
Mm-hmm.
We're the most educated people by group in the country. Black women, okay? Got more degrees, do this. We're professionals, we got good jobs, we buy houses, we do this, we do that, we do this.
But at the end of the day, we are the most neglected, unprotected.
I'm not even gonna go
by women.
I'm saying, when I say disrespected, that's the one. The neglected, those things are bad. But it's the disrespect. Something I do is ghetto, but if a white girl do it, it's trendy. My ethnic hair makes you uncomfortable, but when Kylie Jenner does it, it's groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. You remember when we were in high school in the 90s and you used to wear rings on every finger?
Yes.
Like, that was her shit for like 6 years, world. Like, she used to bust it out with these nails. She used to have long nails with designs, and she would have all the rings. I'm talking about thumbs, too. Killing this fucking game. And it was all real, because you can't wear fake shit.
Right.
Because you delicate.
Okay?
Bitch, she delightful, too. Okay? She delightful. Now that shit is trendy. That was seen as ghetto and urban back then.
It was.
So you gotta watch these microaggressions. Oh, that's urban style. Fuck you. That's your way of saying ghetto, okay? Ghetto, okay. When somebody says, ooh, ethnic microaggression. And here's the thing. You need to stop thinking, black women, you gotta stop letting this shit slide from these Karens. Fuck them hoes, okay? What you need to do is get Kevin on your side. Get that white man on your side. They're fucking rolling bitches up the river for you. Just, they be loving all of this. All of this brown sugar and cocoa and cream. They love it all. You hear me?
It's true.
You haven't noticed this? Okay, we talked about this in the car, and I just...
Oh, let me get on this. Let me get on this topic. I know you're doing this. Okay, so the thing about this, what I want to get before that is that as a society, they praise black women for how much abuse they can endure.
Oh, 100%.
Their strength and how much emotional labor that they provide to everyone else. Yes. Especially the black man. How much emotional labor we provide for the black man.
What we can take from them.
Right. That alone is dehumanizing, really, if you think 100%. About it. So think about what a black man can contribute to. And please listen to black women, first of all, on this. Because what's happening in the world right now probably wouldn't happen if you had more black women speaking up and saying this is what it is. Because black women know how to sit there and tell you like it is. And they know we're strategic with our shit.
Yes.
We think.
We know how to use this system.
Yes.
On its head.
We think. So black men in general are really causing harm when it comes to the black women and how we are valued. And black men need to understand, as a black woman, we need to be protected. Because at the end of the day, no matter how independent that black woman says she is, she still needs to be protected. By far.
Because when a white woman is a CEO of a company,
right,
she still got that good old husband, mm-hmm, and he's still out there with all them kids and doing his thing. So why can't a black woman be strong, passionate, and, you know, we seen as, oh, she too aggressive. You don't say that about white women, and she still got a man.
No. Are they labeled as just being a bitch? We all are, truthfully.
We difficult.
But we difficult. That's, we a difficult bitch. Because we don't put up with that shit. But, you know, I was told a couple months ago, like, oh, you're so strong. That's not a title or an adjective I want me to be this. I'm tired. And the thing about it is, I had to put up this strong persona because I had no other choice.
Well, I mean, you had to be that thing.
Right.
Otherwise, you would crumble.
But then so many men get to the point where it's like, oh, she's strong, so let me back up and not do what I do because she can handle it. What the fuck sense does that make?
No, let me take advantage of her strength.
There you go.
That is so disrespectful
there
to me,
go.
Because why would you take advantage of the very thing? When you see it in me, you should go, man, she's strong. She shouldn't have to be that strong. Because,
mm-hmm,
why do you come in somebody's life if you don't add value?
Right.
These men are coming to your life and take from you and add no value to you.
You're right.
That's disrespectful. Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you not thinking through, okay, this person is about business. Instead of you being about business, you want to be about fuck shit. Okay, I ain't doing that today. We're not doing that today. I'm not doing that today.
No, but the thing about it is, I had a conversation with somebody earlier.
It's very frustrating.
It's the thing about it is, like, of course, the white women are looked up as the, you know,
genteel
ones, you know, the pure,
Southern,
the whatever.
The
whole. But then it's like, black women all together were always viewed in a servitude mode by the boss, by your husband, by your friend, your white friends, anybody outside the black women understood each other. They know. But everybody else outside the black woman group, they look at black women like we're servants.
Let me tell you, it's two roles historically that have been acceptable to white women and white men. Here are the two roles that have always been portrayed, mm-hmm, in media, in stories and books, everywhere. In theater, there's two places we can go. The mammy, big mama image.
The help.
Or the over-sexualized Jezebel. Really, during slavery, the reason why it was acceptable to be bed warmers to white males is that white women felt like the men wanted too much sex. And those slave women, they were so sexual, they had to take it, right? And so that was the mindset of, those are the two images. That's why people get mad at me, because I'm not a huge fan of Beyonce and this or that. To me, she's far too over-sexualized still to this day, and it makes me uncomfortable. It doesn't have to make you uncomfortable. Right. It doesn't have to make them uncomfortable, but she got three kids and walk around in a glitter bathing suit. That makes me uncomfortable. You are someone's wife. And again, if you want to wear a glitter bathing suit, girl, do you. It makes me uncomfortable because I know the history behind, and all of these white girls that's cool with Beyonce and Beychella and Bey this, it's all a game for them. Because notice, white people was real uncomfortable when she started talking about formation, getting formation, and base shadow. Uh-huh. And they were very uncomfortable because up to that point, she was non-threatening because she was in the role of what? An over-sexualized woman. And they were comfortable with that.
You're right. You're right.
As long as you fall into those two categories, white women and white men don't feel some kind of way, and they don't try to push you any other kind of way. You fall into the over-sexualized Jezebel. That's why white women love Cardi B so much. That's why white women like Nicki Minaj. They like those women because that's the image they're comfortable with. But anytime, you ever notice, anytime a woman tries to stand up and be heard as a speaker or this or that, they'd be like, too much.
That when it came, I forgot who it was. Who is Tommy? Tommy. Tommy, all, I forgot her last name, Tommy Lauren, Tommy something. She always challenges Cardi B. And Cardi B always come back to her. That's the one that Cardi B said, I will dog walk your ass. Like,
She white.
Yeah, she's Tommy something. She's like in the president or something. I don't know.
Oh, the girl who always has something to say, like she's super conservative.
Yes.
I know exactly who you're talking about. And the thing about it is, see, I will dog walk Cardi B. Because when I start talking to you historically about things, what do you want to yell at me about? What do you want to say when I'm not trying to tear you down, sis? I'm just telling you historically, this is what it's been. So you're feeding into that, right? You're feeding into that image. Do you want your daughter to be on a strip pole? Do you want your daughter to be talking about sucking dick? Do you want that for your daughter? Because if you're doing something now that you don't want your daughter to do, then I got a problem with you being okay with other kids doing it. Mm-hmm. That's where I found, because we stand outside these two images. I'm a Southern Belle. You know how uncomfortable that makes white girls when I say I'm a Southern Belle?
Oh.
Because, bitch, yeah. You know you can be a Southern Belle.
That's
yes,
white woman shit.
Bitch, I'm a Southern Belle.
She flipped her hair.
I like Southern shit. Okay, I'm a classy lady. I love it. It makes me happy, okay? I'm not a bourgeoisie black person. That's not who I am. But I am a good Southern Belle. I like very Southern things, okay? Okay? Great? Got me? Okay. Awesome. So
that might make black men and other black women uncomfortable too, just to take that role. Everybody, but you know the history about being Southern. Yes.
And baby, let me tell you something. You barked up the right tree. Because, baby, I got a whole goddamn history degree. Know about it all. I'm not a Southern Belle that feels like the Northern aggression. Like, I'm not like that, okay? Pride over prejudice. I'm not like that. But what my problem then lies is, you don't get to tell me who I am. Right. You don't get to tell me how to identify myself. Because the second you start telling me, you ain't no better than white folks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my thing... My friend sent me this article about this dude talking about the situation from a more conservative approach. And he was just talking about, well, I feel like this is a lie. This was sold to you. And somebody was like, that's dumb as hell. These people coons. Listen, they just don't agree with you.
Mm.
And it's okay if people don't agree with you. But I swear to God, in this culture, if you're not like,
if you're not woke.
Yeah, bitch. I've been woke for many, many generations. Let me tell you why I've been woke. Because I don't just believe what I read on the internet. I don't just believe what I hear somebody say. I didn't just find out Joe Biden was the man behind oversaturating the prisons with black people. I been knew that, dummy. I knew he voted. I know he ran for freaking president in 88 and got beat by Dukakis. That's why his ass went sat down back in the Congress where he was. Dummy, I'm not the one. And the thing about it is, I listen to everybody because I see everybody's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if you don't. You don't have to. I do. I can feel the passion in your post when you put something on the internet. I get all of that. I can see a Candace Owens, why she said what she took. Listen, I know.
Girl.
Just
girl.
Just listen. Just put your hand down.
I can't stand that hoe.
Listen,
okay.
Ooh, let's not call her a hoe. Let me just tell you why. Calm down. This is why it's me, not you.
No, I'm
rubbing her on.
Don't do that.
Let me tell you why. Because that's that girl's right to believe whatever she wants. The way she is, who she met, whatever she thinks. What happens is she hung her hat on the Trump platform when she should have just hung her thing on the Republican. If that's how you feel that you are a conservative, I respect that. But the problem is some of these people then hitch their wagons to the wrong people. See, I'm never gonna hitch my wagon to a fool.
Well, the thing about it is, Candace Owens, the NAACP saved her ass when she was getting harassed by the white boys in her school. They came to help her ass out. But now you justify everything these white boys who called you nigga bitch did to you. Now they good, they're good wholesome people. Bitch, you forgot what they did to you?
But here's the thing. That's a person with an opinion that here's the thing. I can never agree with her. Mm-hmm. I can sometimes agree with her. Because sometimes the things she says are accurate. Let me tell you the one thing that this might piss people off. So go and prep yourself for getting some hate. I get police brutality. I see the passion behind police brutality. But here's the truth of the matter. And as an educator, I think you'll know this. The state of education for black children. I'm not talking about nobody else. Black children. That's the biggest thing that's hurting our community. Mm-hmm. Y'all marching about police brutality, and I didn't know that man, and he shouldn't have died like that, and that was terrible. George Floyd, hashtag, all of that stuff. But what about these reading scores? What about this prison pipeline that they have for reading scores? Do you know if a child reads below grade level and they're impoverished at the age of 8? That's third grade. Mm-hmm. They determine how many prisons should be built. That's some shit we need to be running. All of these rappers and this and that. Why are we not funding more schools?
Right. Right.
I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan, but when he put his money where his mouth was for that school, I had to stop talking, dragging him. I had to stop dragging him, okay? Don't drag him no more. Not my business. Not my business. But that was big for me because, let me see, what do black people do when they get money and they have kids? What's the first thing they do?
Buy houses and buy materialistic shit? I don't know what.
No, what do they do with their kids?
Oh, send them to private school.
Thank you. I get you away from this element. I don't want you buying this element. The element that was you. Mm-hmm. You were the very element. T.I.'s daughter that he was checking her hymen, she went to middle school with my kids at the old high school I used to teach at, right? They knew her. That was their friend. Mm-hmm. They said she was a weirdo in middle school. She didn't go to the high school I taught at. She I don't know where she ended up at high school, but she probably got pulled out of there because that was too much. But you see my problem? You don't even believe in the very thing you're buying into. Mm. I don't agree with Bootsy, badass, okay? But his nephew went to the high school I taught at. Mm-hmm. I used to be like, not me, motherfucking no. My kid would. I'm not saying my kid would go to a... Well, my kid, I think private schools, I can control something a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But the problem is this. Instead of y'all over here, y'all too busy want to spout out shit that don't make sense. Okay? Killer Mike really gives back to the community.
He does.
He really cares about education. Those are huge things for him. Okay? He don't play. Okay?
He knows his shit.
He knows his shit. He's well-read. Mm-hmm. I did some research about him. He was an activist in high school when he went to Frederick Douglass High School. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is not a joke play for him. Okay? The rest of y'all want to live so immoral and then want to shove some morality down my throat.
That's why I understand when Keisha got T.I. and Killer Mike to go on stage or go on the news and tell people, no, don't burn down Atlanta. Go home. The whole premise is go home. Everybody, yes. Go home. There's a reason why you put T.I. up there first, and T.I. only said like two words. He didn't even go in his big old, you know, his use of
exponentially.
Yeah, expeditiously.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. He didn't go into them using them big words. He got in front of that camera. He didn't do that stuff. There's a reason why it was so quick. I mean, so short. He didn't have much to say that people would really listen to.
Exactly.
Because you did a whole bunch of music on I'm drug king, I'm whatever, fuck these bitches, whatever the fuck your platform is. Nobody really wanna hear from you. And my cousin posted something online. I'm like, oh my God, look, Atlanta's so good. They got T.I. They got Killer Mike up there speaking for them. I said, first of all, T.I. he could have had a seat.
He don't speak for
them. He don't. Killer Mike,
Yes, thank you.
T.I.?
No. Because his morality's messed up.
Right.
Killer Mike been with the same chick, doing building businesses, doing what he needs to do. He puts his money and his presence where his mouth is. And that's my problem with some of these people who want to speak out and be the leaders of the... You don't lead me. You don't speak for me. It used to be a time when entertainers really spoke for the movement, mm-hmm. but these people are out there putting their life on the line. You care more about, you know, degrading black women, if we're being honest.
Right.
That's your biggest platform. You degrade black women. Okay? And so that, to me, is just like, shut up, bro. It's amazing to me that all you talked about is these hoes, and now you want to check your daughter's virginity. That was the biggest I can't believe you type mission ever.
Mm-hmm.
What's the audacity of you? You've been talking about hoes since she was 17 in your music. And now you don't want one? Now you don't want a hoe? You don't want my baby to be a hoe.
Oh my God, you're making my neck hurt.
You don't want my baby to be a
hoe.
Listen, nobody was a bigger Tip fan in his heyday.
Mm-hmm.
After he went to jail for like the fifth time, I was like, I'm done. After Paper Trail, I ain't bought enough CD. But every CD to the end was my... I know Dope Boys in the Trap by memory, can rap every word. If I've had a hard day at school, I get in my car and get in my bag. But yeah, so he's the biggest one, getting his bag about this, getting his bag about that. But really, at the end of the day, like, it's such a false message, you know? And then you got Killer Mike, who's a family man, who makes sure, you know, he's a member of the NRA, and people hate that. They believe in the Second Amendment right. But the only people that got a problem with that is like black folks that don't know no better. Because these white folks that told y'all to give away y'all guns, y'all dumb. Y'all dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all dumb. And no thank you, nigga. I do not have a felony. So I will, not will, I am locked and loaded. I keep my Second Amendment on me, so try, nigga.
Yeah, okay? She got me to do it too.
Yes, and I called my best friend. I'm like, you need a gun too. Everyone needs a gun. Arm yourself.
And 95 South was getting his, and he was like, well, we need to do it and do it now. And, you know,
before they switch up the laws on you.
Exactly. That's what he said. Before they say you can't do it.
I really want to get my conceal and carry.
That's what he's trying to do now. And you're going to find out that it's taking a lot longer.
It's taking a lot longer because during the quarantine, because of the courts, it's a court thing that you got to go through. So it takes a lot longer now.
But because of all this protest that's happening, you never know what they're doing in the background, too. It could be taking a lot longer.
Nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, yes. No one's paying attention when they're going to change these laws and change these, you know, how you can get it. But whatever.
But again, that is when they play that good white folks versus bad white folks. Again, my mom integrated her schools, did all of that, this, that, and that. My mama said the one thing I've never trusted is when one white folks tell me I'm the good white folks, they the bad white folks. No, thank you. Both of y'all making legislation that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So until people start going, fuck a party, hear what I just said, fuck a party, you need to research these people, right? We need to make such a shake in a presidential election and these local elections that it's no longer, it's a guaranteed two-party system.
Mm.
Why the hell don't we demand better for our country?
Right.
Why the hell don't we demand an independent who bought some business? My sister was like, girl, I'm about to look at the Green Party. Girl, they about goddamn environment. My sister don't care about that. But that's what it needs to take. It needs to take a shift in the way people look at things and pay attention to things.
You know what? I think this whole... Just racial injustice thing that we got going on, this movement we got going on, because I really don't like using Black Lives Matter. I mean, I do, but...
No. But if you look at that platform, I can't get behind it. It's a lot of things that are intertwined in it. I'm like, oh, I don't really...
Posted to get the community and the solidarity together.
I do like the hashtag of Black Lives Matter.
Right, because we do matter. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot. Like, we have to get behind a whole bunch more stuff besides just this, the whole police brutality. Not understand.
Exactly.
Even I had to go research. I was like, what the hell is this defunding the police mean? I was like, what does this mean?
Okay.
I don't understand.
So
at
what,
first.
Yeah.
I know now, but go ahead.
Yeah. And when I was looking at defund the police, I was like, excuse me, what? This is what my mama said. My mama said they need to all call in sick one day.
Because people still been calling the police. Because what do people do when shit happen? First thing, black, white, don't matter. Black folks call the police too. Mm-hmm. They be like, fuck this, 911, who this? Mm-hmm. So my thing is, what happens? Because the whole concept behind, I was looking into that too. Whole concept besides, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is we take away that and it be more compartmentalized, like, oh, you have a domestic issue, you talk to the domestic department. But it's not like people walk around and police you.
No, that's not what I got from it. I got from it is that they take some of the overly funded things about the police, because it's overly funded when it comes to all stuff they do, and they reallocate that into the education. They reallocate that to the community resources, mental health, all that stuff. So it's not, I have to go even further, because there's a Camden, New Jersey who did it, and that was the most dangerous, I guess, city in that point in time. Yeah. But when they defunded the police, crime went down like 70%. Because they put more money in the community, and I'm all for that. I'm not for disband the police.
And it's a lot of people want that.
We still need protection. I understand that. I think our money and our stuff should go into more investing in the community, education, healthcare. Because when people start getting educated and they're not sick and tired of shit, they start making better choices.
Yeah, and I agree with it. And it's not just because I am an educator, but I'm like, when you start looking at all of the bad choices that come out of a lack of education, it's so disheartening. Like me and a friend of mine. Okay, so I was talking to Coach earlier, and I said, I'm pissed. What you mad about right now, baby? I be passionate. And so I was like, everybody act like they ain't know. I say, all these people act like they just found out who Fannie Lou Hamer was. He goes, okay, I feel bad. Can you tell me who Fannie Lou Hamer is? So I start educating him about Fannie Lou Hamer. He was like,
educate the people.
Oh, Fannie Lou Hamer was somebody who was involved in the Mississippi Project when they were doing voter registration, right? So this is an uneducated woman, sharecropper, all of that. Parents have been slaves. And this woman was all about making a difference in Mississippi, which was one of the harshest, still to this day, one of the most racially divided and harsh places to be involved, okay? And this woman was like, I don't care. I'm gonna put my life on the line, put my body on the line, because things need to change. All the way up to, they had even had two different sets of delegates to go up to, I can't give a whole thing, but please just Google Fannie Lou Hamer, right? Just look at her. And now that people are like uploading part of her speeches, and I'm like, the fact that you didn't know who Fannie Lou Hamer was, that's what my friend who's also a history teacher was like, it's just starting to piss me off now. She's like, because here's the thing about that. And what is the one thing people always said? Well, I didn't know they didn't teach me in school. Nobody taught you how to roll a joint, but you can do that proficiently. Nobody taught you how to shoot a gun in school, but you can go take a class to do that.
You know what they
Nobody mean? Taught you that, but you learn.
I made a post that said education starts at home, and I got people saying different things. You know, that's what it is. I always believe in a child only educated in school is an uneducated child.
Oh my God.
I forgot who made that quote, but that's what I stand by. You can't just teach them at school. You got to teach them at home. School is just the foundation of learning. You have to expand that learning to whatever you're doing at your house, whatever your culture is. You have to bring that in, and you have to integrate that into your lifestyle.
Because let me tell you something. You can look at it like this. You can look at all the statistics that have to do with if a child is raised into a poor home, right? And low-income home. Doesn't matter the race. They're raised in a poor-income home. They will have thousands less words that they've heard and been exposed to by the time that they're the same age as their more well-to-do classmates, okay? They children that are well-traveled, they learn at a higher pace. Children who are exposed to things. Now, there are children who are poor, they grew up in nothing, and they have a parent that's so passionate about education.
They're the freaking genius.
They're freaking genius. Ben Carson's mother couldn't read. He grew up in poverty. Okay? He's a freaking neurosurgeon. One of the smartest people. This man figured out how to separate Siamese twins that was connected by the brain. First person on earth to do that. Okay? That's a different level of stuff. But he, every step of the way, was pushed up. If he didn't have his
poor uneducated mother who knew the importance. They knew the importance of it. You ever look at Vietnamese children? Let me tell you something I know about Vietnamese children because I've taught them. Vietnamese children's parents, a lot of them who immigrate to this country, right? Their children are born here. Their parents could be own nail shops. Hear me? Mm-hmm. Not doctors. Own a nail shop. Their children will be valedictorians, salutatorians, top of their class, go to good college. Do you know why? Let me tell you something. First of all, their discipline is on a different level. You just don't hear about it. But when these kids told me they used to have to kneel on rice when they didn't make good grades, I said, excuse me? That sounds like torture. Or they get hit on the bottom of their feet. Pop, pop. That's where it'll make bruises. You know what I'm saying? And then on Saturday, you know what they do on Saturday? They don't play video games. They don't go to the mall. That ass go to Vietnamese school. And they are proficient in Vietnamese writing, speaking, culture. Jewish people. Jewish people not only keep their money in the society, in their own communities, they also have Jewish schools, which makes you exposed to Jewish people of the opposite sex, which makes sure that you're going to marry next Jewish boy or Jewish girl. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But nobody calls them racist or nationalist or anything else because they quietly keep today shit to themselves. Mm-hmm. Because if education was only about school, how little would our kids know?
Right.
How little, because they take things out that are common sense things. There's no more longer home ec in school.
Right.
Family consumer science is what they used to call it. They got rid of that.
It's in middle school now.
Oh, okay. They took it out of the middle school when I taught there. Oh. They got rid of it. Okay. They don't teach auto mechanics. No. They don't do that. You got to get in a special program to go do something else. Do you know why that's strategic?
Because, like, they want to defund the police. They've been defunding education
for generations. Yes.
And that I hate when people say, oh, teachers just overpaid babysitters. Fuck all y'all.
First of all, here's my problem with that. If I was an overpaid babysitter, then why do I need so many advanced degrees?
Right.
They won't let me teach your badass child. They won't. Because think about it. In our profession, we have to get the most degrees and get the littlest back when we think about it. You'll pay $15,000 for an additional degree and you might make $3,000 extra a year.
That's true. Hello, master's right here. And
holler.
But the thing about it is that people don't understand, they really understand, teachers supply their whole classrooms
with everything.
You know, we might get a $75 gift card to school buy.
I don't get that.
As an elementary, lower level, primary school teacher, we might get a $75 gift certificate at the beginning of the year. That's it. $75 goes nowhere when you have a group of 20 kids in your classroom.
And you got to make sure all of this, these kids got to bring their own pencils and supplies to school and they can't cross-contaminate. Okay, I'm sorry. If you've ever taught at a Title I school, I don't know about other people, but if you've ever taught at a Title I school, you will have a child that never have a pencil. I gave you a pencil first period. It's fourth period. Why don't you have a pencil? I gave you one. I don't know where it is. So what are we going to do about those? What about the kids who just come to school just to eat?
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. That. It's a different level when you're dealing with these two things against you. Okay, the very first thing that affects your education, the very first thing is income. Mm-hmm. It's income over race. Mm-hmm. Income. The second thing is always going to be race. And the third one is language barriers. Those are the three major issues that we deal with in the United States of America, right? So if you have a poor black child, do you hear what I said? Poor black child. I've taught him my entire career. Are you kidding me? That you think this kid care about this and that? If I don't give my kid value at home, I've had kids in my classroom. One, parents ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw them out of, but they care about and they value education. And they don't play like that. Miss B, can you please send my parents a message so they know that I'm not failing your class no more? Can you write this letter to my dad? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's different than I got $250 sneakers on, I got a Gucci belt on, I got a MCM backpack, I got a $1,000 cell phone, and I got a 14 in your class.
But those students got the parents who teachers are overpaid babysitters.
Yes.
Keep your child at home. Homeschooling them motherfuckers.
They're dumb. They can't. But if it was about some weave and some nails, they got them. They got them on lock because they're going to make sure they got them fan eyelashes. Your child dumb as a box of rocks, but she come in with a fresh eyelashes? With a bonnet on? Okay, I can't. I'm not doing it today. I'm not going to do it. I refuse.
So we go back to the whole thing about, okay, so when we come to this movement that we're in right now, go back to that subject, mm-hmm. and
the uprising, I like to call it.
The uprising. Mm-hmm. We can do a part two some other time, because mm-hmm. we got a little off topic, because we were talking about, the whole point was talking about black women.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We went all the way to education policy.
I'm always going to go to education.
But the thing about it is...
Hashtag black educators matter.
Oh, Lord Jesus. So the thing about it is that what's happening currently in our society is that our last podcast, what didn't happen then, what's happening now, is that a change happened. It shifted from just black people saying, oh, we're getting treated bad, we're getting treated... Now we got more of these allies who come up to our defense, because I guess we needed it, to say, yes, they are treated bad. They are treated like that, like in Brunswick, Georgia. I knew something changed then when you had white people coming to those people's houses of the murderers, and you had people doing protests and vigils outside the courthouse. I saw a whole bunch of white faces. I was like, oh, something's changing. Something's really changing. They opening their eyes. You know what? Because they're now looking at the actual police videos of these black people being killed for no reason. You see this. And then what happened the very next time? Then you got Brianna. There was no video, but you heard about it. And little by little, stuff coming out was, oh yeah, it was a no-knock warrant. Oh yeah, the police were in plain clothing.
Yep.
Come to somebody's house in plain clothing and just kicking the door and they got a gun. Of course you gonna fucking shoot back. But now the freaking Brianna's boyfriend got attempted murder charges against him. Of course they got dropped now. But come on now. How you gonna switch that man up and say he tried to kill y'all when y'all had it was no knock. You kicking the doors and shooting every fucking thing.
My thing is, why are you kicking somebody door in and shooting?
And when they know you at the wrong address. Whatever the case may be.
It doesn't even the right address. Why are you popping in somebody's house shooting?
Like right outside.
That's crazy.
You can't do that. But now they heard about that. But then you literally saw George Floyd on the ground. And you literally saw this man. And it's like, what did he do? What did he do? Of course, you know, the other agenda is always going out. Well, you know, he must have been a criminal. He deserved, right? What did he do? It don't matter what that man did. He did not deserve to get what he was done to him.
Again, I said it before. The jails are filled with crime lords. Black, white, Mexican, everything. So it's a way to take people down without killing them. It's a way to do that. People who have done tawdry things, horrible things.
Oh, you talking about Mr. Roof? Who shot up a whole massacre of a church?
No. Because that's too easy. There's black people, brown people, poor people in jail who done crazy shit. We know them. We know people who got attempted murder or murder charges, then went to jail, and they not dead. You see what I'm saying?
But not
enough. But people who know how to do it.
That's true. That's true. But most of my knowledge when it comes to those people, those black men got their asses beat before they got in there. They just were lucky ones who didn't die. They got their asses beat. No. If you go and you ask some of those men who came in who did tawdry things, especially when it comes to attempted murder, whatever the case may be, they didn't go in there all the way peaceful. They got their ass whooped. They do not do that when it comes to white serial killers. You know what I'm saying? You can come in, they'll peacefully give you water. They stop by Burger King, give you something to eat. Let a black person do the same exact thing, you don't get the same treatment. You don't. I mean, yes, there's a way that you can get in there. And even George Floyd, if that man didn't have his knee on his neck, he still had other 200-pound weight on his back. You know what I'm saying? So they do that for a reason, and whatever the case may be. But more came out. You know, you saw that. So if people were like, well, what did he do? What did he do? It don't matter what he did. He didn't deserve that. So then you get more footage to come out. And you see that George Floyd was walking around peacefully, sit down on the sidewalk, he was not what they said. He was not resisting arrest. He wasn't doing none of that. He was complying with everything they said. Also, now it's white people going, oh, well, damn. So he really didn't deserve to die. Why do you need more evidence that he didn't deserve to fucking die the way he did? That's stupid.
And I think for those people, it's the system has never betrayed you. Mm-hmm. So that's why. And I think that, and people be like, oh, you know, these people are allies. The one thing about it is, you ever notice, and I gotta get on, I have to get on this topic. Like, you ever notice with white folk that when a lot of times when these people start becoming allies and they out there fighting and stuff like that, people be big up in them so hard. Why? Why they get more attention than something? You're doing the same thing that people did in the 60s. It wasn't a big deal. People was marching for years until the summer when they came, the white kids from up north came down to Mississippi. Those two white people got killed and the one local black dude got killed. And all of a sudden, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Why does that hurt you more than something else? So it's like, because white people get involved, it's like, it's so much deeper and so much, that irritates me. But anyway, it is what it is. Everybody,
because at the end of the day, it's nice as black people, we still don't get heard. You know, because our blackness isn't good enough for those motherfuckers.
Yes.
And that's the big thing. It's like, why do we need more people to say what we already been telling y'all? Like, I'm giving up for the white people who sit there and come out and I see the allies and I'm not mad at you. Guess what? They doing what they're supposed to do as a fucking human. Standing up to what's fucking right and wrong.
I agree.
What they supposed to fucking do.
I agree.
Fuck everything
and
else.
And let me tell you the one thing, and I'm going to talk about these Karens again.
Okay. It's okay.
You ever notice when a white girl could be, or a white woman dates a black man, right? She can still be racist as shit. She can still talk about black women like they ain't shit.
And most of them do.
And they want mixed babies and they want this and they want that. Okay, that's fine. You have to notice these white boys that be with these black women, and I'm not gonna say all of them, but I'm saying about 9 out of 10 of them, being they Kente cloth with they beautiful black women, be talking about gorgeous black women. You ever notice
that? My queen.
They go so much harder to me for the culture, and they don't, and this is without a cause or whatever else. They do this on their own. This be on some, it's a Monday. Look at my, you know, they, it feels like they be more for the culture.
Look at a Serena, is it Serena?
Yeah.
Serena's husband. Mm-hmm. He stepped back from his whole goddamn job he started to be for her. And, you know, I get it. And, you know, most black men probably sit here and get mad at you go up in a white man. We're not upping him like that. We're saying that there's a difference between the white man who gets a black queen. Because black women, back to the point, are magical.
Yeah, they are.
We are fucking magical. And we will change a whole man's perspective. Hold on.
But you know what's crazy about that? And we will get degraded as bed warmers, the white man's wench, the this, the that. Oh, we'll be drugged by black men. When I used to date white boys, I used to get drugged by black dudes. There you go there. But the second a black dude to get with a white girl, y'all ain't got shit to say. Oh, she exotic. Fuck that bitch. I'm exotic. What the fuck, she exotic?
But the thing about this too, like when you just said, the white man will get on board with the whole culture thing.
With the culture.
The white woman to the black man. Look at Kanye West and Kim. She gonna do one little post. Oh, I support the Black Lives Matter. What else are you fucking doing?
Nothing.
What else are you doing? What else are all y'all white women who date these black men, what are y'all doing
for and have these black men? Babies.
Right.
You got a black daughter, bitch.
Yeah. And a black son.
But like a bunch of them. She had like four of them.
Yeah, I mean, seeing now your son is a target. Your son might get killed. Because when he's in a car, believe me, they don't care who your mom and who your daddy. No, they see black boy. They see black man. He can't escape his skin. Oh, yes, you want beautiful mixed babies. Of course, because they have the melanin dripping
off. Hello out there.
Of course. You know, you want that because you know it's something about that. It's magical. It's beautiful. You know that. But you can't support that child's daddy. You not going for the culture
now. Or the culture as a whole. And the thing about it is, she, you know, she stepped up in some ways and does some things. But again, stuff, yeah. y'all whole family, let me tell you, I told this to my friend yesterday, and I really believe it out of my heart. They've made having biracial kids a fucking fad. Uh-huh. And I'm over it. We're not a fucking experiment. We're not a fad. You these is caramel color kids. I mean, I'm caramel color, but that's not the point. So what are we talking about right now? But let me tell you what, this is another thing that I don't think people pay attention to when you out here having these babies that's biracial. Look, you better understand this one thing right here. Kids find their identity, their identities in their mother. Do you hear what I said? Mm. They find their identities in their mother. If you are a caramel color girl and your hair is not bone straight, you got some curls that's in your hair, your mama don't have no curls, she don't know what's going on. Okay? She gonna have you out here looking like buckwheat. Okay? She don't know no better. Pam, Karen don't know no better. Okay? However, my mama knew how to slick these edges. She just relaxed and she was like, I ain't got time. It's too much. Y'all here doing something different. I don't know nothing about that. Okay? But you see what I'm saying? You find your identity. So part of that is these people don't have an identity. My parents never were like, oh, you all this, you all that. My parents used to just be like, you are who you are. Right. You can like people for who they are. You know what I'm saying? People gonna constantly tell you, you this, you that. You just be who you are. Right? And they gave me a lot of balance in my life that I didn't always think I could have. But the problem is, if this good black mama I got don't play the radio, okay? She don't play the radio with all of that foolishness. And so y'all getting these plays and doing all of this. All I'm saying is this. We had a schoolmate. I'm not gonna call him a friend. We had a schoolmate on freaking the internet talking about, oh, these white girls is going hard for the culture. Black women, y'all need to go recruit some good white men.
Oh, Lord.
Excuse me? We need to do what? I'm sorry. And my dad, I loved him with all my heart. But I love black men. And so you got to understand something. I'm not recruiting nobody to do nothing. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not doing nothing.
That's, again, putting a black woman in that servitude fucking role. The fuck?
You get your ass out there, black boy.
He don't
and
want,
do something.
He don't want them.
And
they
do
don't
something.
Want them. He can't.
But you know
them.
What? He's also the same individual that sits there and say, you know, teachers are over glorified babysitters. But he's also the one who, let's get on this since we on this topic real quick, is that he's also the one that says, I'm not voting. I'm not voting because the government is flawed and they need to do something about voting. Girl, that irritates me. That irritates me.
I'm not getting in my voting bag today because historically, I can't do that right now because I need to keep my blood pressure at a certain rate. I will cuss him out, and I'm not gonna do that.
But I'm just saying we can save it for another topic.
It's oh no, okay. It doesn't.
But it's the point. It's like, why are you sitting there dictating what you do, what people should do? What the fuck are you doing?
Nothing.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Why do you have this call sitting on everything, but you sitting there? Like, stop just sitting there and just barking out these orders and telling people what to do when you not, yourself are not doing it. It irritates me. Irritates me. And, you know, I don't want to sit there and say, like, some people like protest shaming. I guess it's a thing. I made it up. Like, oh, you're not out there fighting for the cause, so you must not really care about the cause.
Oh, baby. My calls every day when I go into this good classroom and I uplift everybody that I possibly can and I can educate them. I'm too old for that shit. God bless y'all for feeling like you need to go out there. Baby, let me tell you something. I'm not going march nowhere. Okay? Some of my former students are out there. They're like 20. They need to be out there. I'm not going out there. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what y'all doing. It's not organized enough for me. I support y'all. Do you? But everybody don't have to do it the same way.
Right.
Everybody does not have to do it the same way. Okay? Some people I feel like just out there for the social media posts. Yeah. God bless you. I'm not.
Post my picture. I'm holding up a sign.
Yeah. You know, I'm sacrificing myself. But what are you doing in your everyday life that makes anybody's life better? What are you doing to make black lives better?
Oh my God, that's so true. Even me, you know, last weekend, I actually went to a community event.
Okay.
You know, and because my whole thing is my community, where I live. I'm trying to make that good, you know?
100%.
I'm trying to make that, because this is where I lay my head at night. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing an event. I'm talking about education, what I'm good at.
That's
I'm
talking what you about do.
Parental involvement. That's what I'm what good at. Do. I'm talking about forming a partnership with parents, because that's what I do. And I'm reminding the community that the school is a community school. Yes. This is a part of the community. If you feel like your school is not doing what it's supposed to do, where the fuck is your voice at? If you feel like your kids are not learning what they need to learn, where the fuck is your voice at? Stop being quiet. You shaming these other white people. Oh, your silence is telltale sign. So is yours at PTA meeting.
Thank you. You can't be mad at this person when you don't care enough about your own child's education. Don't tell me, oh, it's too much, it's this, it's that. Excuse me? Let me tell you something. Your kids should matter more than anything in the world. I've had two jobs before and I ain't had nobody to feed. You can have several jobs and still do what you need to do.
And you know, and some people are like, oh, you know, they have meetings at certain times and, you know, I'm at work. I understand. Some people, you can't get to PTA meetings because they do have them, but you can't sit there and change them and say, have them later and later. Understand, teachers go to PTA meetings too. So they're there for at that point in time, most likely 12 hours for that day.
Yeah, exactly.
And they probably have family members at home too.
They're sacrificing too.
Yep. So think about that when you start making demands for stuff. Yeah, you can't probably go to the PTA meetings, but guess what you need to do? Get that PTA president and say, give me a rundown of what happened. What was the agenda of this PTA meeting?
Or how about you volunteer at the school?
Well, some people can't volunteer. People work. You can't do that. You know, when you're providing something for your family, you can't.
But what I'm saying is this. Like you say, okay, tell me about what to me. Something has to give sometimes. Even if you got to give your job a 6-month notice. In 6 months, I need to take this day to go to
my
school.
True. I know that. But, you know, school don't work that way. They don't tell you when it's going to happen.
Oh, no. I agree with you.
My whole thing is, if you can't even possibly be available at that point in time, you need to be getting your information. You need to be involved. You need to be sending emails. PTA people have phone numbers and whatever the case may be. Call them and ask them what happened at the meeting.
Yeah.
Make them people accountable. Make your voice heard.
Yeah,
whatever you're talking about, make a paper trail. Email that person you talked to and say, prior to our discussion we had today, this is how I feel. This is what my input is going to be in what I think my children's school should be.
Because
the school is part of the community.
And the problem is we've gotten away from it.
Right. You just think the school just is building a house your kids 8 hours a day. It's a community. Because at the end of the day, even me, I learned being in the school I'm at right now, it's a Title I school. Parents say all day long, I need help. My light's finna get cut off. I need help. You know, whatever. They good to ask for that, but you won't go and say, well, my child, y'all curriculum is stupid. Let's change this bitch.
And see, here's the problem that I have with it. People want to always put that on somebody else. And it's like, no, let me tell you something. My boyfriend is a single father, right? Do you think his kid is not reading in the summertime? Do you think he doesn't do book reports with him? Because as an educator, he knows that it's his major responsibility to make sure his son is always good. And he can't put that on nobody else. And so at the end of the day, I think you have to be very mindful over what you're doing. And you know what? Let's say you can't get to the PTA meet, but you think they're teaching your kid too much white stuff.
Right.
Guess what you need to do? Educate your damn self
right.
So that you can educate your kid. Mm-hmm. Me and my friend were talking about starting a program to where we, although I say the same thing they told the white folks, if you want to Google it, you can Google Black history. They got all the stuff there for
They do, but a lot of people didn't realize this shit. I saw a TikTok video from this white boy. Not say little, he's probably a teenager. I don't know. Say probably 18, 19.
Okay.
He was like, I'm learning so much now about Black history that I've never learned in school.
Yep.
He had to educate himself on Black history because it wasn't taught in school. You learn about George Washington Carver, MLK.
Oh, baby, they teach the same one.
Harriet Tubman. Rosa Parks. You learn about those people. And then they whitewash that.
Quiet resistance. That's what
right.
they
whitewash
that. Servant.
So if you want to teach, if you want to implement stuff in your child's curriculums to get them, you need to put something, you need to do something. You got to do something. You got to do better. If you want better, do better. Period.
You as a parent, because here's the thing. There's people out here that want kids that don't have them. Mm-hmm. Okay? I love children. I want children. All of that good stuff. But you better understand this. You better know. I know the type of education I want for my child. I can't rely on other people to give it to them.
Right.
And yet schools, teachers should be able to do that. No, because curriculum, again, you got to go to the board meeting. Because that's what I'm curriculum.
I had to tell somebody the other day this too. I was like, you got to understand, if you can't go to the PTA meeting, y'all better be logging on to your Board of Education freaking board meetings. Most of the days now, they're recorded. If you're like, what's something said, you better hold that person accountable.
And let me tell you what annoys me too. Y'all don't even vote for the school board. Why you right. worried about this and that? Now,
right.
Like, fuck the president, bitch. You need to be voting for who on the school board.
I'm sorry. How do you vote for someone on the school board again? Is that the presidential election?
No, it's a local election.
Damn! Ding, ding, ding. And then most of you motherfuckers don't show up to the local election.
They don't care about that. They too busy wanting Trump to do something. Let me tell y'all something. The first thing when I teach government, the first thing my kids say every time is, dang, the president don't have as much power as the Congress. Y'all need to stop focusing on these people who are in place for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the most. Four at the least, eight at the most. You need to focus on these people who have been in an office your entire life.
Get them motherfuckers about.
Do you know how much money these people make a year and their residuals? But here's the thing. They start off making about $175,000 a year. Their residuals over years is around $100,000. That's what they get when they stop being it for the rest of their life. What? Excuse me? And you got a problem with me? At least I do stuff every day. They don't do stuff every day. And they got travel budgets. And they got this. And they got that. If these people are not doing what you want them to do, but and we're not just talking about big, Congress. You need to go to your state legislative representatives to see what they're doing at your state level. Because a lot of the things, the taxes you pay, everything about school happens at the local level. In state politics, we have no federal education program where you vote for it like that. Mm-hmm. Schools, licenses, marriages, all of those are a state issue thing. So dum-dums, not calling y'all dumb, but dum-dums, you need to start paying attention to the things that matter. If your children are going to be in public school because you don't want to pay for private school, I totally understand it. You need to get involved.
Yeah.
Period. If you're not involved, shut up. You want to be mad at me because I took his cell phone? Bitch, he can't read. He can't read. And I teach him how to read, but you ain't going to bother me about no goddamn cell phone.
And at the end of the day, when it comes to all this movement, I want everyone in the podcast world to remember, Black teachers matter too.
Come on
now. They are essential. Essential. It's essential for your Black kid to see a representation of themselves. Are you kidding me?
Because let me tell you what I'm sick of. That white savior to come into the Black, poor Black schools and help the little Black kids because nobody else want to teach them. But let me tell you, I've been in a school where it's an underserved, underprivileged kids. And you know those parents gave me hell but didn't give my white counterparts any. I'm in here telling your daughter to put some clothes on and you want to send me an email. You want to send me an email because I told her to pull that skirt out of yin yang. But this fool over here can't barely even teach the kids because she has no classroom management. My auntie ass in there getting them all together. But you want to call me because I told her the skirt was too little. Get the hell out my phone. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I felt it. But again, let me tell you the worst. I think the worst people to Black women are other Black women. We've been taught so much that is competitive and mm-hmm. it's this and it's that. Ain't no competition. Babe, I love you. I love you, Black woman. You can't make me hate you.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse. But if you don't stop tearing down one to the other,
we have to, yeah. When they say queen, fix the other queen's crown.
And that's a hard one. Black men are very harsh to us, but Black women,
we're harsh to each other.
Ooh, baby.
We gotta come up with this sisterhood. We gotta come up with a better things to do when it comes to ourselves. Because again, Black women, we are the most disrespected, neglected, unprotected freaking individuals in this world. We have to come together by ourselves to lift each other up. I love this movement about going to Black businesses, supporting your Black people.
I love it.
Finally, we finally doing something. People are finally getting involved and say, let's go. It shouldn't take you getting mad at everybody else to support your Black counterparts.
And I mean, especially we're in Metro Atlanta. Like, literally, if you live in Atlanta, there is no excuse mm-hmm. not to shop with Black businesses because there's so much. Now, let me talk about Black businesses, okay? I used to run a Black business when I was married to Dum Dum. Okay? Let me tell you this one thing that I believe in with my heart of hearts, because I'm not spending money with just anybody. You need to be Black and qualified. You shouldn't be 10 times more expensive than somebody else, and the quality of service needs to be up there. So you got to do good. Okay? We real good at restaurants. We love to feed people. We got that on lock. But a Black nail shop, okay? Yes. It needs to be, we live in one of the Blackest, most wealthy cities for people of, not people of color, I stopped saying that shit, for Black folks. And my best friend can't even find a Black nail shop. But if she find one, I told her, I said, nah, they might be high. But I need you to be as professional, and I need you to be on point.
Right.
As long as you did that, I spend my money all day and 10 times a week. I don't have a problem with that. But that'd be my biggest issue sometimes. So I'm like, look, I want to spend money with you. Mm-hmm. But I need you to be on point. And I don't feel bad with saying that. Because again, I'm going to tell you like I tell the white counterparts. I'm not expecting you to do more than them. Right. I expect you to do the same.
Right.
And do the same thing.
Right.
You know, a dollar two is one thing. You know, you want to do certain things, I'm not okay with it. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to get off my rent.
But as a whole, we need to understand Black mm-hmm. women. The whole point of this is Black women need to be protected. We need to support yes. each other. We need to understand 100%. Black men, you got to do a better job protecting your sisters, protecting your women.
Let me tell you something. John Boyega from the UK. He He did a whole speech. And here was the thing. He talked about police brutality, but he immediately went to the Black family. He immediately went to Black men. We need to do better by Black women. Because let me tell you something. Because we, regardless, you treat us like shit, mm-hmm. and we still on this line for you. Right. Ain't that crazy? Right. The most disrespected, the most unprotected, this and that. But who is on the main line of the movement? Black it's always going to be Black women protecting Black men. And that needs to not be a one-sided situation.
It's true. Let's pause on that because I can go into that. Okay. So, thank you guys for listening. I know we got a little out of hand. You know, Trissy Lynn be getting all in her bag. You know, she be happy, honey.
You said hubby.
All right. So, you just listened to Grills and Heels podcast. Catch us each week as we try. As we talk about more creative topics, you can subscribe to us on any single platform that houses podcasts. Our website currently is going up under a upgrade, so bear with me on that. But you can still catch us if you just Google Grills and Heels. You can still catch all our episodes. So thank you guys.